What if investing 15 minutes a day in yourself could increase your tolerance to stress, could improve your mental focus, could decrease your risk of injury, and ultimately make your job easier? Just 15 minutes. And for perspective, that's just 1.04% of the day. Would you do it?
I definitely would. And I have. And I'm excited today for us to share with all of our listeners how they also can incorporate movement and exercise into their very busy lives. Hi, I'm Dr. Jennifer Edwards, and I am here with Erin Shaw, and we are bringing you the Resilient Vet podcast.
Thank you for joining us. I am super stoked to talk about this subject. It's something that is a passion of mine. I'm an occupational therapist and a strength and conditioning specialist. I've been doing this for almost 30 years now. And so when it comes to nerding out over movement and exercise, that is what I love to talk about. So we're going to dive in and make sure that this episode, as all of our episodes, is going to be very, very practical. So at the end of this episode, you're going to know three specific exercises, three specific movements that you can do that is going to make a big difference, give you a big return on investment in your resilience. This whole podcast is about being resilient in veterinary medicine, which is not easy. Speaking of that, Jennifer, tell me a little bit about how tough vet medicine is. How important is resilience?
It is critically important. I've spent at this point, well over two decades as a veterinarian. And I can tell you, and any practicing vet out there also, I'm sure would agree, it is a physically demanding and stressful job. In one day, I might be down on the floor, upside down, trying to look at the belly of a German Shepherd. In one appointment, I might be up and down, the dog's on the floor, the vaccines, the otoscope, everything's on the counter, twisting, turning, leaning. Then there's surgery, standing for hours in one position with your arms outstretched, not really being able to touch down or lean or rest. I would often get physical fatigue in my lower back, in my legs. I would have hands cramping up in the middle of dentistry, trying to work in the back of a little tiny mouth, like in a Boston Terrier, trying to suture an extraction way up at the top in the back. I would be twisted. My neck would start to hurt. The physical demands go on and on and on. And having a conscious intention of building resilience physically is imperative if anybody is planning to last in this profession.
Definitely. And I'm married to a veterinarian, and sometimes with a wife as a veterinarian, and I'm an occupational therapist by training. There have been times when I felt like when my wife would come home that we would like open the infirmary and try to like rehab and patch up and get ready for the next day. So I think that part of the drum I'm going to continue to beat is helping the vet community recognize themselves, look at themselves as athletes and being preparing physically and emotionally for what is a very physical and very emotional job. And it does even get harder as time goes on. So here's a little bit of bad news. We all age. If we're lucky enough, you continue to age. Our bodies change as we get older, and we lose muscle mass at a rate of 3-8% per decade. And then there's a corresponding loss of strength that goes along with that. So while the job demands may stay the same over time, I don't know, maybe even they get more challenging over time, some days are better than others, some days are exceptionally challenging. If we're not proactive about that, while the demands remain at least high, our capacity is actually decreasing. It's a big risk.
It is such a big risk. And I just want to point out that for people listening, no matter what age you are, this information is so critical. As we get older, of course, we're starting to feel it, you know, getting up off that floor or twisting and turning the way we used to, lifting the dogs is more difficult. But this information is also so important for the young people, because if you right now are thinking, well, I feel great, I'm agile, I'm young, I'm athletic, I can move, I can bend, I can squat, the more you can do now to build that, to last over time, to keep your strength up, to keep your muscle mass up, as Aaron is discussing how much that gets lost, it is going to pay dividends when you're older. As any older vet can attest, it definitely starts to get more difficult as time goes on.
Yeah, I always think about it as the investing in like building or kind of climbing up a mountain, if you will. Like there's going to be a very natural decline no matter what we do. And if we're proactive, we can slow that decline for sure. But it is really kind of in relation to how high can we build this mountain. So if somebody has, you know, very little fitness, very little stamina, very little mobility, very little resilience, you know, so maybe they only have like this little tiny bump of resilience. It doesn't take much to lose that. And then you're really, really struggling just to perform in work and in life, versus if we take the time to invest, just like we, you know, invest in our retirement, you know, invest in insurance, we're investing in the most important thing that we possibly can, which is our own health. And really, without a ton of time, it does take consistency, but without a ton of time, we can really work on building this mountain of resilience, which will pay dividends for years and years and years and throughout your career. Did you, when you were in practice full time, what was your exercise routine like? What was your self-care like?
Well, I have always been very active my whole life. My body craves movement. For me, movement is medicine. So I've been a couples dancer as my primary hobby for my entire adult life. So I danced a lot. And in the dancing that I would do, it was very, very physical, a lot of West Coast swing, two-step. And so there was a lot of controlled twisting and controlled stopping, which helped to build muscles that honestly I didn't even know I had. And I've also been a very long time practitioner of yoga. And I would make jokes sometimes in the exam room, because as I would be trying to look at the underside of the German Shepherd that would have nothing to do with being stood up on his hind leg so I could see the hot spot, I would literally be in squat position with my entire torso bent forward and my head turned as I was parting the fur to look at a lesion or something on the underside of a dog. So the practice of yoga was huge for me in maintaining my core strength, my flexibility, and my ability to kind of get in and out of some of these awkward positions that we find ourselves in. I'm not a person who can tie myself into a pretzel. It's not, you don't have to be flexible in that regard, but it's having your body being used to having that range of motion, I guess I would call it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's what's key, what you were doing with your yoga practice and with swinging and dancing for sure, is that you're not waiting to be in the OR. You're not waiting for, you know, what I consider is like, you know, game day when you're in the clinic. You don't wait for that most challenging thing when you absolutely have to perform it. The key is making sure that you can perform it by practicing it, by maintaining health outside of the clinic on your own time. So when the time comes when you have to get in those occasional contorted positions, if your body is at least somewhat acclimated, somewhat trained to be able to do that, your chances of success, I mean, success being one, not getting injured doing it, but also to be able to tolerate those physical demands so you can actually provide the care that you know how to do. I mean, your brain can have all the smarts in the world that you know exactly what to do, but if you can't contort your body or hold your body in a certain position, you're not going to be able to execute on what you're capable of. So it's also an issue of really reaching your potential your career potential.
Right. And what happens is, and I've seen it over and over, is that our bodies are not conditioned to do these tasks. I've seen it in, you know, veterinary technicians and veterinarians alike, that the body is not in a capacity to be able to do the task, but we do them anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I find that people are not always lifting correctly. Even now, since I've started working out with a personal trainer, as much as I thought, because I bent my knees and all the things, I thought I was lifting properly. Even with that, I really wasn't. There are ways of doing things and prepping the body so that the things we're going to do anyway are easier and safer. The other thing I used to do a lot was walk. I've never been a runner, never liked running. I went through phase, you know, of cycling, but I would always walk. And so many nights, I can't even tell you, and I'm sure a lot of doctors out there can resonate. Like, I just literally wanted to flop myself on my couch. I was exhausted when I came home. And I would feel that and put my dog on a leash and go the mile around the block. It didn't take super long. Sometimes it was hot, sometimes it was cold, but I went. And interestingly, almost without question, that increased my energy. It did not drain my energy more. But that movement, that getting all that energy out that's just been building up all day, and the cardio effect, all of that was very healthy. And of course, we're going to talk about this in another episode, but the mindset benefits that go along with that are huge as well.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And as a lifelong athlete, it's still very interesting to me that when there are times, you know, stress and just feeling tired, busy day, staring at a computer all day or running around doing errands or whatever it happens to be, that sensation like, oh my, there's a part of my brain that's like, enough, like just lay down. And yet I know that if I start to, like, if you can kind of push through that little barrier and actually start moving and start doing a few things, I end up, you know, 20 minutes later, it's like I'm energized. Like, how is that possible? I went from like an empty tank to a near full tank by actually using that little tiny bit of fuel that I had to exercise, to move. And so it's a very virtuous cycle to get into that. But let me just kind of quickly go through like the benefits of exercise. So we can talk about, of course, there's, you know, the underbelly of a German Shepherd, a soon to be named yoga position, I suppose. So there's definitely the benefit of mobility. So we're talking like exercise, the benefits of exercise here. Improves your metabolism, can help you with weight management, bone density, bone health, obviously just the physical capacity to do the physical demands that you need. There's a lower risk of injury. So the more strength, stamina, balance, body awareness that you have, and I think yoga is really great for kind of body, for those type of things, you're going to decrease your risk of injury, especially in the contortionist world of vet medicine. You will preserve muscles. Your muscles are great for helping blood sugar control and weight control. It will improve, this is kind of interesting to me, there's actually a reduced risk of Alzheimer's and dementia through doing physical exercise. So there's cognitive benefits, like basically like intellectual benefits from lifting weights, from picking things up and pushing and pulling and moving and doing challenging things. So yes, doing these, you know, doing exercising regularly will, and when done well and, you know, wisely, maybe with some guidance as needed, will help you perform physically in the clinic. But the benefits go on and on and on and on, and you will live longer. One of the people that I like to follow and listen to is Dr. Peter Attia. You may have heard of him. He has a great book called Outlive, and he's a great science mind to listen to. And he said that, hopefully I'll say this right, but basically the net benefit of doing physical exercise, that net unit of benefit, that unit is bigger than any negative thing you could do. So smoking is a negative. Exercising is a positive, even more so. You know, so it's like diet, nutrition, all that stuff. There's nothing as powerful if you want to live a long, healthy, vibrant life than exercise.
Yeah. Well, with that, Aaron, we mentioned earlier that as we get older, the job and just honestly, sometimes physical movement in life can become more challenging. And that can happen just because we're aging, so to speak, you know, or sometimes if there's real limitations, people have injuries, people have disease processes that set in. And very often what can happen is then we say, well, because I have this shoulder injury, because I have this back problem, because I have whatever the situation is, I just can't do that anymore. So what I want to introduce is this idea of yes and. A is bring some acceptance to whatever the physical limitation is. We don't have to pretend that it's not there, and we don't have to be completely put out by it. So with whatever the limitations are, little or big, What can you do? It's about being creative, thinking outside the box, because no matter what age or condition somebody's in, there are things that they still can do in most cases to get some physical exercise in. If the knowledge is not there, or there's a person has trouble thinking about, well, what can I do? Then consult somebody. You know, there are coaches, there are trainers, there's all kinds of information out there to help you discover what can you do. So with that, Aaron, would you like to share with everybody some quick in-clinic exercises that they can start to implement today to
Definitely.
Help improve their health?
Definitely. So the first disclaimer is, of course, we're all individuals. We all have our own aches and pains and, you know, lists of challenges. And having a robust, regular resistance training program is excellent. But real world, we're busy. You're in the clinic. I want to give you three things you can do in the clinic that will give you positive dividends. First thing you can do, we're going to correct the what I always call the all-American slouch. So we tend to be over our smartphone devices, over our computers, over our patients, or Jennifer's case is kind of bent up and contorted up underneath certain patients. And so there's this very, very forward rounded shoulder, forward head posture that can lead to all sorts of aches and pains, neurological injuries, musculoskeletal aches and pains. So what you can do, back yourself up against a wall. So you're going to stand up all the way up against a wall as you can, as much as you can. And I want you to get your arms up like a goalpost. So the back of your arms, back of your forearms, back of your hands are pressed up against the wall. And for a lot of us, just simply even getting close to that position is an exercise in and of itself. You're going to feel the muscles that are all around your shoulder blades activating. If you kind of try to keep your kind of the back of your head tucked up against the wall, you may feel a stretch along your neck. It should not be painful, absolutely not painful, but it may feel a little challenging. Extra credit if while you're in this goalpost position back up against a wall, if you can kind of slide your hands up and down the wall while maintaining some pressure up against the wall, or at least back towards the wall that's behind you, you're going to be activating what we would say is like the posterior chain, the back of all these muscles in your back, backside of your shoulders that kind of get neglected as we are in a forward slouched cell phone driving, sitting on the couch, not to mention when we go to bed at night, a lot of us kind of sleep in that fetal position. So there's a whole lot of time we're kind of rounded. We can correct that through this wall angels. Have you tried that one before?
I have. I've done that against the wall. I do it against the floor also, which mm-hmm. probably in a vet clinic, you might not want to do that, where I lay on the floor and I try to flatten myself. I goalpost my arms and try to like flatten my shoulders and everything down against the floor. It takes effort. The other thing, I still do yoga. So that helps also with opening up this chest, but putting the arms back in that goalpost posture is so, so helpful because we start to round forward and our head starts to pitch forward, and being on our phones all day is not helping with that at all.
Definitely not.
But even in veterinary medicine now, we spend a lot of time on computer writing records. And so there's that same hunching over a keyboard, hunching over a desk. So yeah, that's a great, great exercise.
So that's the first one. The first one would be wall angels. The second one is a body weight squat. And I think that this is sometimes poo-pooed by some people because it seems like, you know, you don't have any weight, you don't have a dumbbell, or a barbell, but I promise you, if next time you're waiting for a lab result or a phone call or for your patient to come in, or you're just in between something, if you for 60 seconds would just squat down like you're going to sit into a chair, like that depth, pause, stand back up, not like it's a race, but just consistently down, pause, come back up. If you do that for 60 seconds, I promise you, or your money back, your heart rate will increase a little bit. Your quads are going to be activated. Your glutes are going to be activated. And these are big muscles that do great work, kind of the essential foundation of pretty much everything we do as far as movement. And it is a great way to, again, stimulate your muscle system, stimulate your blood flow, and all the benefits that we listed earlier, which I won't go through all those again. It is super simple. If you want to make it a little bit more challenging, you can make when you go down to that, the lower part of that squat, and you're kind of sitting in that invisible chair, just stay there. Just hold that isometric hold, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, extra credit if you do it for the whole minute. You may want to look around because people are going to think like you've kind of lost your mind, like you're hovering or that there's an invisible chair, but super valuable, no equipment needed. It's not technical. Go down to a depth that you just feel comfortable. It should be challenging. Again, the whole point of doing these is that we are challenging our physiology to change, and it changes with stress. So as we build resilience, we have to step into that part. And if you just do one or two and you think, oh, that was easy, well, guess what? You've done nothing. You've done nothing to change. You've done nothing to stimulate change. So we want to pursue a little bit of difficulty. And if it is a little bit difficult, if your heart rate goes up and if your glutes start or your quads start burning a little bit, success. That's exactly what we're looking for. That's the second exercise.
Yeah. And just to add a little, if somebody is doing that and it is easy, well, good for them, because that's great. And go to the doctor's office, grab a couple of big fat textbooks and hold them kind of just like kind of up. Mm-hmm. And then do it again. I mean, you don't have to be in a gym with dumbbells. You can just find things around you that can add weight, that can up-level the exercise a little bit if you need that.
Yeah, definitely. If you find that you're doing squats and you just can't think of any way to make them more challenging, reach out to me. That's one of my specialties. I can make anything more challenging for you. but it's, again, bodyweight squats, don't devalue those. They're a great thing to do. And the third and last exercise I would suggest in the clinic setting on a work day, and Jennifer, you already kind of pointed to this, is going for a brisk walk. And if I know this is not possible on every day, but some days you could probably step out. You should be having some sort of break or a lunch period, something that represents that. But even 10 minutes of a brisk walk, I mean, any walk is good. But again, similar to the bodyweight squat, I would challenge you to go out there and get your heart rate up. I mean, get the blood pumping a little bit and get out from underneath the neon lights and the chaos in the clinic and the stress and the demands, and use that as like your bubble, your time. Your physiology will love you for it. Again, go back, you know, listen to what I said a couple of minutes ago about the benefits of exercise. Your mood is going to change. Your stress is going to drop. Your muscles, your tendons, your heart, your nervous system is all going to give you nothing but all those feel-good chemicals that will help maybe push you through that second half of the day. Super available.
And I'm sure that a lot of people are thinking right now, like, yeah, right. Like, I'm supposed to take 10 minutes in the middle of the day and just go walk around the parking lot. That's not going to happen. What I would offer as somebody who has been there, done that, is your productivity will go up by taking 10 minutes out of your productivity time, but doing something that will increase the amount of productivity in the remaining time will increase your overall productivity of the day. If you do that, then go sit and write your records, you will have clarity of mind, clarity of focus, you'll be more energetic, you will get your records done more quickly. So I just want to address what I would suspect is in a lot of people's minds right now. It is very difficult to step away, but difficult does not mean impossible.
Yeah. And Jennifer, you took the words right out of my mouth that the unit of time that you are doing some of this self-care, that you are stimulating your physiology, really taking care of yourself, the kind of hidden in plain sight benefit is you're going to come back and you're going to be sharper and more productive than you would have been if you just ignored those 10 or 15 minutes. And so cognitive attention as a result of exercise is very well documented. It's very clear. And if you've done this on more than one occasion, you realize, oh, it actually feels good. I kind of snap back, like I'm focused again. Cause we all get fuzzy. Nothing that's going to avoid 100% of being burnt out or tired. And you know, this is the roller coaster of a busy clinic, but it will help get you back in your A game.
Yeah. There were so many times where I would go to my desk to write records or to review lab results or whatever I had to do. And I would be in this fog, this lethargy. It was like my body was wearing a gravity suit and there was this blur. And I would sit there with the proverbial like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh. And what I would think is I need coffee. And sometimes I did get coffee. I sometimes would stand up in my office and I would do jumping jacks for 30 seconds and run in place for 30 seconds. And I would sit down and I would be a new person. So it does not need to be much, but it makes a huge, huge difference and can be drastically effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that it's easy to set barriers on why we can't do certain things. And I understand there's maybe an ideal or an idealistic way of looking at, you know, exercising regularly is I got to go to the gym and the gym is big and fancy and I got to park the car and I got to spend an hour and a half doing that. And I got to get on my gym bag and stuff. And if you can do that, awesome. Great. I will say that's maybe like the gold standard, also really hard to achieve for most of us, but do not devalue these three things that we just talked about here. So we've got wall angels, we've got body weight squats, and we've got a brisk walk. Those will move the needle. Those will help build your resilience. And so that's a win. If you can get to do those, hands down, that is a win. And it may actually be a springboard for having a little bit more energy, for feeling a little bit more energetic. And not to dive into, maybe this will be a separate episode, we'll dive into like the culture of clinics, but you know, yeah, you may actually get some other people that are interested in saying like, hey, we can all take 10 minutes out and come back in the afternoon and just kick butt in the afternoon versus all being fogged and pounding caffeine and kind of grinding through. So you may actually be, the impact may be greater than what you think.
Absolutely. We'll leave everybody with the thought and the assurance that you can do it. This is all available for you. This is not something just for the other people. Make a choice to make yourself a priority and implement this into your routine and let us know how it goes.
Yes, you will be the resilient vet.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.